And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Right up front, I would like, first of all, to share my appreciation and gratitude for their assistance in the preparation of today's sermon, especially to Deacon John Reitz, who did the formatting and everything. I much appreciated his time, and especially to those who are staffing the board this morning. I much appreciated. Thank you. Creation. Just the mere mention of the word bristles the hair of an evolutionist. Assuming they had hair, right? There's no greater war that non-believers have waged with Christianity than creation. And there are many who call themselves Christian believers that do not fully accept the Bible's teachings of creation. Much to their credit, evolutionists have succeeded in converting much of the world's culture into accepting its precepts. However, with today's advancement of technology to aid scientific explorations, evolutionists are losing ground. Yeah, amen. Every account, every event has a beginning. Our biblical record does indeed have a beginning. It begins with God. The five-word opening phrase of the Bible contains a fundamental truth of our faith. In the beginning, God created. Without acceptance of this fundamental truth of Scripture, one cannot accept God's word in its entirety, and most likely only to be considered as containing interesting stories. Well, the creation account is fundamental to understanding the entire message of the Bible. The earth is not a product of blind chance or probability. Simply stated, God created. Ken Ham, founder and curator of the Creation Museum, states that acceptance as truth, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, is required for understanding the full and complete message of the Bible. I concur. Our first reading from the Old Testament book of Genesis, read by Norman McAlore, opens with the following words. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Being referenced here is the creation account given in chapter 1. Some scientists believe that our universe always existed. However, Edwin Hubble, for whom the now circulating Earth telescope was named, stated that if it were possible to rewind the ever-expanding universe, a beginning indeed would be realized. A conclusion from this statement would mean that time itself has a beginning. Albert Einstein reacted quite profusely against Hubble's hypothesis. And later, Einstein admitted to what he described as the biggest blunder in his life when he fudged the equations to avoid the implication that the universe indeed has a beginning. Albert Einstein. British astronomer Sir Frederick Hoyle sarcastically nicknamed creation event the Big Bang. If you've ever wondered where you heard where that term originated, now you know. However, questions remain. The bottom line question is that something Someone must have started it all. Well, the 1992 COBE space experiment did prove the universe has a beginning, which, thanks to Hoyle, was named what? The Big Bang Theory. And the conclusion drawn from this theory is that everything in the universe came from, guess what? Nothing. Surprise? All you had to do is open up the Bible. And furthermore, because of the lack of evidence pointing to something as a cause, scientists are now leaning to the admission of a creator. British theorist Edward Milne stated, "Our picture is incomplete without him," capital H. Astronomical evidence is leading to the conclusion of a biblical view of the world. From the video, "Has Science Discovered God?" we learn more about how the universe is finely tuned for life.
To one question: the universe, accident or miracle? But could this fine tuning be attributed to chance? After all, odds makers know that even long shots can eventually win at the racetrack, and against heavy odds, lotteries are eventually won by someone. So, what are the odds against human life existing by chance from a random explosion in cosmic history? Well, for human life to be possible from a Big Bang utterly defies the laws of probability. One astronomer calculates the odds at less than one chance in a trillion, 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 trillion. In other words, it would be far easier for a blindfolded person in one try to discover one specially marked grain of sand out of all the beaches of the world. Look at it this way. The odds of one random Big Bang producing life as we know it would be like one person winning over 1,000 consecutive mega-million-dollar lotteries after purchasing only a single ticket for each. Not very likely. Really quite impossible, unless it was fixed by someone behind the scenes, which is what everyone would think. And that is what many scientists are concluding. Someone behind the scenes designed and created the universe. Well, this new understanding of how miraculous human life is in our universe led the egg. To one question, unless it was fixed by someone behind the scenes, which is what everyone would think. And that is what many scientists are concluding. Someone behind the scenes designed and created the universe. Well, this new understanding of how miraculous human life is in our universe led the agnostic astronomer George Greenstein to ask, is it possible that suddenly, without intending to, we've stumbled upon the scientific proof of the existence of a supreme being? As to one question, the universe.
So, what are the odds of creation being formed from a Big Bang? Did you count how many times trillion was stated? Sounded like the national debt, didn't it? Well, I counted them. There were 13 trillions mentioned. 10 times a trillion, times 13 of them. It comes out to be a number containing approximately 120 zeros. I wouldn't even know how to read such a number. As was stated in the video, it would be more possible, and I find this fascinating, just think about it. It would be more possible for a blindfolded person to find a single marked particle of sand, one grain of sand, placed somewhere among the beaches of the world. Go find it. The Big Bang Theory has no chance of ever being proved correct. Yet we still hear it being mentioned. I have, and most recently, on a science channel. Go figure. Scientists are now concluding that someone, notice in that something, someone behind the scenes designed and created the universe. So, has science stumbled upon the proof that the universe was created by a supreme being? For the past few decades, we have been hearing more and more about DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. If there's any scientists here and I mispronounce it, please forgive me. A self-replicating material present in nearly all living organisms as the main constituent of chromosome. It is a carrier of genetic information. DNA is also described as the molecule of life. Your DNA is what makes you uniquely you. Your DNA is the reason why you resemble your parents and distinguishes you from your pet frog and from everybody and everything else, including our supposed great-great-uncle ape. DNA has been labeled as the language of life. And the next video clip reveals how DNA is very much the result of creation and not evolution.
There is another discovery, DNA, the language of life. As recent as 1953, molecular biologists discovered intricately complex design in the microscopic world of DNA. This tiny molecule has been called the brains behind each cell in our body, as well as every other living thing. Yet the more they discover about DNA, the more amazed they are at the brilliance behind it. Scientists who believe the material world is all that exists, like Richard Dawkins, argue DNA evolved by natural selection without a creator. Yet even most ardent evolutionists admit that the origin of DNA's intricate complexity is unexplainable. DNA's intricate complexity caused its co-discoverer, Francis Crick, to believe that it could never have originated on Earth naturally. Crick, an evolutionist, believe life is too complex to have originated on Earth and must have come from outer space. He wrote, "An honest man, armed with all the knowledge available to us now, could only state that in some sense the origin of life appears at the moment to almost be a miracle. So many are the conditions which would have had to have been satisfied to get it going." The coding behind DNA reveals such intelligence that it staggers the imagination. A mere pinhead volume of DNA contains information equivalent to a stack of paperback books that would encircle the Earth 5,000 times. And DNA operates like a language with its own extremely complex software code. Microsoft founder Bill Gates says that the software of DNA is far, far more complex than any software we have ever developed. Richard Dawkins and other evolutionary biologists believe that all this complexity originated through natural selection. Yet, as Crick, a Nobel Prize winner, remarked, natural selection could never have produced the first molecule. Many scientists believe that the coding within the DNA molecule points to an intelligence far exceeding what could have occurred by natural causes. In the early 21st century, noted atheist Anthony Flew's lifelong unbelief came to an abrupt end when he studied the remarkable intelligence behind DNA. Flew explains what changed his position. What I think the DNA material has done is to show that intelligence must have been involved in getting these extraordinarily diverse elements together. The enormous complexity by which the results were achieved looked to me like the work of intelligence. It now seems to me that the finding of more than 50 years of DNA research have provided materials for a new and enormously powerful argument to design. Although Flew was not a Christian, he admitted that the software behind DNA is far too complex to have originated without a designer. All this scientific evidence leads us to honestly consider that life and the universe have the fingerprints of a creator.
We heard that DNA is the tiny brain behind each cell in our bodies, as well as in every other living thing. And even evolutionists admit that the origin of DNA's intricate complexity is unexplainable. We heard that DNA could never have originated naturally because life is too complex to have originated on Earth. So if it's not on Earth, we heard that the complex coding behind DNA staggers the imagination. And what fascinated me was the analogy of a mere pinhead volume of DNA contains information equal to a stack of paperback books that would circle the Earth 5,000 times. That computes out to a stack of books 125 million miles long in a pinhead of DNA. I have much difficulty comprehending that. Evolutionists would have us believe that DNA developed through natural selection. And yet DNA's discoverer stated that natural selection could never have produced the first molecule. We must recall that at the time of creation, what was present? Nothing. So how could a molecule of DNA be with its complexity as we just learned? Research leads to the conclusion that the complexity of DNA leads us to a new and enormously powerful argument that DNA is far too complex to have originated without a designer, without intelligence, without supreme intelligence, I might add, without God. All this leads us to consider that life in the universe do have the fingerprints of a creator. So what if, after all, there is a creator?
So what if, after all, there is a creator? If there is a superintelligent creator, the question arises, what is he like? Is he just some cosmic force like in Star Wars, or is he a personal being like us? Well, since we're personal and relational beings, wouldn't the one who created us also be personal and relational? Many scientists, like Arthur L. Shablov, professor of physics at Stanford University, winner of the Nobel Prize in Physics, believe that these new discoveries provide compelling evidence for a personal God. He writes, "It seems to me that when confronted with the marvels of life in the universe, one must ask why and not just how. The only possible answers are religious. I find a need for God in the universe and in my own life." If God is personal, and since he has given us the ability to communicate, wouldn't we expect him to communicate with us and let us know why we are here? Well, as we've seen, science is unable to answer questions about God and the purpose for life. However, since the Bible was right about creation from nothing, might it also be trustworthy regarding God, life, and purpose?
So, what is the Creator like? A personal being like us, Since we are personal and relational beings, would not the one who created us also be personal and relational? The above new discoveries provide compelling evidence for a personal God. Instead of asking how the universe was made, we also need to ask why. And the only answers to those two questions are religious ones. So all of this begs the question, if God is personal, and since he has given us the ability to communicate, would not we expect him to communicate with us and let us know why we're here? After all, humankind is the only facet of creation that has the capability to reason, think, and communicate. Why? So that we could have a relationship with our Creator God, which is unique from any other facet of creation. How many times have we heard our rector say, we must develop a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? How many times has he said that? Because that's the purpose for which God made us. Might the Bible be trustworthy regarding God, life, and purpose? Might the Bible indeed be true? Belief in God's creation account and the flood account are only two of the major events in the first 11 chapters of Scriptures. Acceptance of these 11 chapters set the framework for understanding and believing the entirety of Scriptures. Bottom line, evolution theories do not work. No one can cite one kind of living species that evolved from another kind. Let me say that again. No one can cite one kind of living species that evolved from another kind. Yes, there are adaptations of animals and plants, but never since creation has there ever been created a new kind. For example, there are many species of dogs, and new ones coming down the pike all the time, such as, what do they call them, lapadoodles now? Labadoodles? Something of nature. My son has one. They're strange-looking animals. But you know, they have a quiet spirit about them. They're great with kids. My son's dog is just awesome with the kids. No, they only broke his tail twice. Still loves them. But he does look different. Evolution used the results of the flood in an attempt to prove their theories. Last week, two dozen or so of us from St. Bart saw a movie documentary entitled Is Genesis History? And this is an excellent documentary, one that hopefully in time we may be able to show here. The bottom line is, yes, indeed, there was a worldwide mountain-high flood, and that the account of Noah's Ark is true. And there are many that believe that such an account is nothing more, again, an interesting story. You know, that happened more than 5,000 years ago. That's just myth. You know. How do we know that's true? Well, scientific evidence is convincingly proving it so. Could the ark of Noah accommodate all the animals Scripture states? You betcha, and more. What I have here is a measuring stick. It's called a cubit. This is called the long cubit. It's 20.4 tenths inches long. In chapter 6 of Genesis, the ark was said to be 300 cubits long. Could we have the first photo, please? You can see the ark there. And notice, please, in relational note to the size, the fellow here on the left with a plaid shirt, knows closer to the camera. And then follow that down the path and the people get tinier, tinier, tinier as they get closer to the ark. Chapter 6 of Genesis states that the ark was 300 cubits long, 300 of these long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. English measurements would be 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. Perfect proportions for its purpose. This equates to approximately 2,210,850 cubic feet of space. More than enough ample room for what God has planned. Photo number two, please. This photo was chosen for two reasons. One, compare the size of the ark with the two individuals at its base, if you can find them. They're there. It's huge. Quite a contrast. Hopefully you can appreciate the size of the ark. Secondly, notice that these two visitors are sitting on scooters which provide easy viewing of the displays inside the ark for those needing such assistance. St. Bart's Travelers are sponsoring a journey to the Creation Museum and to the ark in September, and if you're interested, see Sharon Hughes or myself, and sign up in the Father Eamon Hall. Close the photo, please. Hopefully, what has been shared today has either strengthened or restored your faith in God's Word, specifically pertaining to His creation of the universe and life itself. Learned scientists begrudgingly are modifying their beliefs about the origin of the universe and life, and are admitting at least to a supreme being who we would call the Creator, Yahweh God. They are proving what theologians for centuries have long proclaimed. Scientists indeed are closing in on what Moses wrote some 4,000 years ago and what the beloved disciple wrote some 2,000 years ago. And that is, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things. How many is that? All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All things came into being through Him, through Jesus. And apart from Him, apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. You know, we have an awesome God. We really do. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sound familiar? How many say that sounds familiar? Good! Because guess what? I'm going to ask you to stand up and we're going to sing it. Please, okay? Let's do it twice and a second time. Sing it like you really mean it, okay? Mr. Gamble.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen.